Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to Talk on the Block for today, Wednesday, the 17th day of November in the year 2022. When historians write about that this date in years to come, Wednesday, November 17th, it will be remembered for this rally. It will take place today from 3 p.m. on the Bayfront. And today's rally, it's about the preservation of our democracy in Dominica. Preservation of what's left of our democracy in Dominica, because we've seen over the last 15 years or more, certainly since 2004, we've seen our democracy being eroded by this government and in particular this prime minister. And this rally this afternoon from 3 p.m., personally, I'm calling on all Dominicans of all walks of life, whether you support the UWP, you support Labour, you support Freedom, you support NJAM, at the end of the day, this rally is about Dominica and about trying to save Dominica from dictatorship, trying to preserve our fledgling democracy, which we've taken all these decades to build, and it's been eroded day after day after day. And if this election takes place on the 6th of December, it will be another blow, the death knell for democracy in Dominica. And so this afternoon from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., make way to the Bayfront, wherever you're from, whether you're from Marigot, from Portsmouth, from Cottage, from Capuchin, from Granby, wherever you are, please make your way. If you care about democracy in your country, forget about party. If you care about your country and you care about it passionately and deeply, you'll be at the Bayfront from 3 p.m. this afternoon. I'll be there. Please be there. Over the last few days, we focused a lot on electoral reform. We focused a lot on the elections, nomination, etc. And this afternoon, I want to the second segment from about 1:15, we'll have Mr. Businessman and Entrepreneur and Innovation Expert, Mr. Andy Jolly. He'll be here from about 1:15. But before that, there are a few things I want to share with you this afternoon. And the first one really is the back of yesterday afternoon's discussion, very interesting discussion. We had Mr. Nicholas George and Mr. Danny Lugay for the first part. And then towards the end, I brought in Mr. Dr. Irvin Pascal. And I think I need to share with you, I need to listen again to what he had to say. And then there was a caller after that supporting his view. And as I said, really, there's more than one way many ways to skin a cat. And this one thing about Mr. Skerritt, his people who support him, they talk about he's a strategist and all that, and he makes the right moves and he's been successful. And politics really is a game of chess, you know, it's about making moves at the right time. And so what Dr. Pascal mentioned yesterday, well, at first I had my misgivings about it, and I haven't spoken to other persons since then I think one has to have an open mind as far as that is concerned. So I want to play again just an excerpt of part of the discussion we had with Dr. Pascal yesterday afternoon.
What I was addressing was the fact that up to now there was nothing that I was aware of that could ensure that on Friday night after 6, Mr. Skerritt would not be prime minister of this country. There was nothing I was aware of. I'm not saying there aren't, but up until now I wasn't aware of anything, and I felt what they say, wisdom comes from the simplest of places, that when a Dominican national whispered to me in my ear, what about the possibilities of 21 candidates at least being nominated? And it made sense that if 21 people are nominated, that prevents Mr. Skerritt from stealing the nomination, maybe not the election, but stealing the nomination and becoming president on Friday night.
You mean Prime Minister?
Prime Minister, sorry. Maybe that's a Freudian slip, but on Friday night. And with that kind of information that I had never been exposed to, because I didn't realize that up until then, that if there weren't 11 independent candidates after nomination, Mr. Skerritt could be president. So, Prime Minister.
Well, he could be president.
Now,
but it's coming.
Yeah,
it's
maybe
coming.
That's what's the intention. So yeah, maybe that's what my spirit is just bringing it out. Okay. So that is where I was after having met with the police 2 days ago on behalf of the same movement for electoral reform and no elections. So, So that was the background to how I ended up here this morning. That to me it made sense that the country hadn't been locked down to prevent that from happening, because that would have been the simplest way. We hadn't succeeded in getting the country locked down so that Mr. Skerrit could not be prime minister on Friday night. There were no other options on the table, as far as I am aware. Maybe they are, but not I was aware of. And I'm saying that if the reason the country wasn't locked down is because we were not prepared enough, we needed some little more time to get better prepared to lock down the country. You can lock down the country at any time. So I thought it was a pretty good suggestion that I should explore it and see whether it could work. And when I thought about it, I says, yes, at least it could buy us some time.
I understand what Dr. Ibe is saying. The question is, are we certain that the action that is going to be taken tomorrow will stop the nomination?
Well,
if we're not sure of that, if it's not going to stop the nomination,
no,
then you need time to do something to stop the nomination.
No, it's
so what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
What he's saying is, why not let there be a nomination so Skerrit doesn't get the prime ministership on Friday? And we have time between Friday and the 6th of December to come up with a strategy to stop the election. Because if we don't stop the nomination and there is not enough people being nominated, then Skerrit is back in. I understand what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have 21 independent people nominated, so there'll be election. But between Friday and the 6th, we have enough time to rally up the troops and stop the election itself.
Thank you, caller.
But if the election tomorrow cannot stop the nomination, then what is it? Then we need time for something else. That is exactly what he's saying. I see nothing wrong with that.
Thank you, caller. Yes, so that was yesterday afternoon's Talk on the Block, and I thought, for persons who missed it yesterday, I thought I would play it again. You're listening to Q95, Talk on the Block for today, Wednesday, November 17th, 2022. As I said, as I started the program, today is an important day in the history of Dominica, and it'll be known as such for a long, long time. I hope and pray that Dominicans realize the gravity of the situation we find ourselves, that democracy is at stake in this country. And if we don't stop, we don't put a stop to this, it will mean that Dominica could end up a failed state, like so many failed states in the past. I have in my possession right now a UK advisory warning of possible political instability and crime. And that advisory is from the UK, the British government. And it's indeed very chilling, because don't forget, the United Kingdom market is a very important market for Dominica. Very important market. We have the French market, of course, European market. But the UK market is very important. And this travel advisory issued by the British government, it reads, the update was made on November 17th. It says, reconsider travel to the Commonwealth of Dominica due to political instability and crime. Exercise increased caution in the Commonwealth of Dominica due to increased crimes during the general election campaign. UK government personnel and citizens are prohibited from traveling to the following areas in Roseau, in Marigot, Grand Bay, St. Joseph, and Portsmouth. After dark, UK government personnel and citizens are prohibited from traveling to all beaches, rivers, and waterfalls. Violence and shootings may occur during this general election campaign. Country summary. Violent crime such as murder, robbery, assault, sexual assault, and home invasions are common. Gang activity such as narcotics trafficking is common. A significant portion of violent crime is gang-related. Terrorists may attack with little or no warning, targeting tourist locations, markets, local government facilities, hotels, restaurants, places of worship, parks, major sporting and cultural events, educational institutions, airport, cruise ship terminals, and other public areas. And this is an advisory from His Majesty's government. I suppose the Ministry of Tourism will have to respond to that, because we have to think about the implications of this on tourism arrivals in, from the UK, not just from now to the 6th, but even beyond that. When I read the part about violent, about gang-related activity, sort of narcotics trafficking is common, that is something that we, in the recent weeks, we've had quite a few cases. This particular gentleman who was shot, he was taken to the Dominica China Friendship Hospital, and then his attackers returned and shot him dead at the hospital right here in Roseland. I'm sure this information reached His Majesty's government, because they're clearly monitoring the situation in Dominica and indeed all over the world where they have relations. But it's a very worrying advisory. It tells you really that the eyes of the world are on Dominica, and if the British government is putting his advisory out, then there could be similar advisories from the US government and indeed other governments around the world. It's really a cause for concern. I want to address, before we get on to our next scheduled guest, the number of organizations who have released press releases and statements following the decision of the Prime Minister to announce elections for December 6, 2022. And I have here a release from the National Trade Union Center of Trinidad and Tobago. And it says here, it's deeply concerned that reports from the Caribbean Congress of Labor and the affiliated unions in Dominica, that the Prime Minister of Dominica, the Honorable Roosevelt Skerrit, has announced plans to hold a snap election in Dominica on December 6, 2022. This press release I'm reading here. It says it is a view of the NATUC, National Trade Union Center, that while the global economy is still reeling from the repercussions of the COVID-19 pandemic, that this is no time for any Caribbean country to be thinking of calling snap elections. Research has found that the pandemic has had a disproportionate impact on low-income countries and people with low incomes across all countries. It is a humble view of the NATUC that the calling of snap elections in Dominica at this time is insensitive and prejudicial, and not in the best interests of the citizens of Dominica. The COVID-19 pandemic impacted all social strata, affecting industry, manufacturing, tourism, labor, and education, and more so in the Caribbean. Further, we have been reliably informed that the Electoral Commission is in the process of undertaking electoral reform. According to the CCJ's report, Section 77, moreover, without free and fair elections, the preambular value of the creation and maintenance of and respect for lawfully constituted authority would be fatally undermined. The consequences of such a denial that a reflection on Caribbean history demonstrates include loss of legitimacy, public unrest, and even revolt. In contemporary terms, free and fair elections are so fundamental to the democratic way of life that without question, it is the very legitimacy and sovereignty of the constitutional state is brought into question, consisted as is by the people of Dominica. Consistent with this express view and widespread support for electoral reform, the Dominica Public Service Union believes that a snap election is not in the best interest of Dominica and the citizenry of Dominica. And I'll just close here, this last paragraph. We call on the government of Dominica to let good sense prevail and to seek to correct all the issues in the affected areas before the calling of any elections. We want to advise the Honorable Prime Minister that being Prime Minister does not give him absolute power to do what he wants when he wants. The use of political office must be used judiciously and with common sense to the advancement and upliftment of the people of Dominica. Remember, the voice of the people is the voice of God, and we must be guided by the God-fearing principles of love, empathy, and impartiality when making decisions that will affect the citizenry of the country. Signed, Michael Anisset, General Secretary of the National Trade Union Center of Trinidad and Tobago. Very interesting press release there, and which I've read, and there have been similar releases from, I believe, the opposition party in St. Lucia. And hopefully, probably tomorrow, I'll read any further releases that have arrived and those that will hopefully come in the next few days. Our next guest, or rather our guest this afternoon, he's here. So I'll take a short break and we'll come back to Mr. Andy Jolly, who's no stranger to the studios of Q95.
Dominica, your country is in crisis. Your country's democracy is in crisis. Save it now. Join the thousands that will gather on the Bayfront in Roseau from 3 to 7 p.m. for a national public meeting to answer the call, no reform, no elections, organized by the Coalition of Opposition Parties and Civil Society Organizations. This Thursday, see your face in the place for a national public meeting to save your country.
If you know your favorite store, dial it now. 612-1253. That's Mega Deals. You can rely on Mega for some real deals on name brand clothing and electronics. High quality, low price. We are a wholesale and retail store located in Calabashi, right on the main road. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram as Mega Deals Dominica. Like our page. Check out our stuff. Call us. Visit us. Would appreciate that. Come try it on. Love it. Buy it at Mega Deals. Your one and only online and brick and mortar store. Mega Deals is also on wheels. We make it convenient for your shopping. We deliver straight to your door. Email us at info@megadealsda.com. Rely on Mega Deals for some real deals.
Yes, good afternoon and welcome to Talk on the Block again. We have in studio for the second time this week, Mr. Andy Jolly. Mr. Jolly, welcome back to Q95 this afternoon.
Well, good afternoon to all the listeners out there. You can hear me okay?
I can hear you. Okay,
thank you. So, good afternoon to all the listeners out there in Radioland.
Hold on a second. Okay, so you are. Okay.
There we go. Yeah, thank you.
Sorry about the gremlins in the system. Yeah, go ahead.
So, good afternoon to everybody out there in Radioland. It's always a pleasure to come by and share some opinions, some ideas that people may entertain. You don't always have to like the ideas, but the good news is that sometimes we can offer them. Hopefully they offer some enlightenment and somewhere where we can go and we can think about where we can go. So it's always a pleasure. Sorry I got in a little late. We were down in Portsmouth, down at karaoke at Clara's house last night. Always the lounge is always a great place to be. So for anybody who loves karaoke, make sure you hit Portsmouth, Clara's house. It's it's probably the number one entertainment spot in Portsmouth. We really love
actually,
it.
Actually, let me just correct you. Just a small correction. It is Clara House and not Clara's house.
Oh, Clara House.
There's no S.
No, okay.
It's Clara House. Yes.
I always thought it was Clara's house.
It's Clara. That's Derek's mother.
There we go. But it's always good to be there and sing. You know, singing is such a joyful thing. You know, so it really releases some of the endorphins in your brain and stimulates your development. And not only that, they've shown that people who sing are actually smarter because you have to remember the song.
Yeah, so you have to have a good memory.
You have a good memory and you have to, know the lyrics and the pronunciation and the intonations and everything. So it's very good. So.
Okay.
But it's good to be here if you're again.
Yeah, Andy, before we get into the discussion this afternoon, I just want to touch a little bit about the current, as you know, things are happening very quickly.
They are.
In terms of the elections and all that. And what are your views on the fact that today there's a rally on Bayfront? We're hearing talk of security forces, soldiers coming from the region, perhaps to bolster the security forces here. Just the issues around,
That's on the list of things to discuss today. And, it's very, very weird. Dominica is such a peaceful, loving country. The people here Me, no intent, no malicious, you know, malicious intent to anybody. Really and truly, we've created this instability, and we'll have some of discussion on it as to how we got here. But there's really no need for all that stuff. And you know, true, we're having elections, but we have to understand that our society is probably a little bit messed up, and we'll probably talk about it a little later in the discussion. In that, you know, I see the police putting all this emphasis, you know, in terms of so our police are almost skewed towards the ruling party. And our radio station is skewed to the party, and you know, when you listen to the news on one station, it's so different than the news on another station. Our television, you know, government information services, is not skewed towards government, but it's skewed towards the ruling party. Mm-hmm. You know, and even the other day that they had a rally, you know, and I watched a bit of it. And there you have the leader of parliament on stage with the opposition. You know, we have to be able to draw clear lines. And one of the things is we have to be able to know that these organizations, even though they're real people and they do vote, they need to be independent. They need to understand that people do have rights, and they have to be independent to those rights. They can't swing towards one side or the other. It's almost like when you are judging the court of law, you assume innocence before guilt. So you go in there with a very clear mind, a clear conscience, and you look at both sides of the story and do your due diligence, and then you put something forward. But now we have forces coming in. We've created instability. We have several travel advisories on Dominique all of a sudden. So we're really gearing ourselves up as a very, very confrontational state. And our elections are proven to be a little bit more wild every time, and a little bit more confrontational, or even a little bit more violent all the time. And we're almost moving towards the Jamaica type of elections, you know. I mean, where you have people who are doing very rational things. But really and truly, there's really no need for all that. And I see they're putting up roadblocks, and police vehicles are running up and down. And I'm thinking, for what? It's just a normal day. We're supposed to have Christmas here. You know, we're supposed to be going into the Christmas season. Jesus was born, and we should be singing and glorifying, and we should have all these beautiful songs playing on the radio. That's what everybody else is doing. I don't know why we're not doing that ourselves. So, mm-hmm. But again, you know, it's what we envision. If this is what we envision, or this is what we promote, like I told you on my last discussion, whatever we sow, so shall we reap, you know.
But Mr. Jolly, I'm not sure, you know, probably may not remember, but the last election, on the eve of the last election, I think the last election was December the 6th. And the day before, the Prime Minister was in the news on the day before, the night before, saying that all these protests in Salisbury and roadblocking, it will come to an end. And within about 5 or 6 hours, I woke up on the morning of the 6th and heard that the police had moved into Salisbury, and people had been tear gassed.
Well,
and you had foreign troops on our soil during an election, which, you know, and you know, I'm surprised that even CARICOM, the OECS states, nobody in CARICOM or the OECS has issued a statement on the government's decision or the Prime Minister's decision to call an election in before reforms have been instituted.
Well, again, as I said on my last discussion, the Prime Minister had a very good opportunity to bring Dominica together. And what he did is that he polarized it even more. And anytime you polarize people, you create angry people. And really and truly, I hate to tell this to you, but he's created this. He had the opportunity to make sure everybody had the best Christmas ever. I mean, this was just a normal Christmas season. And you have to remember, politics is a very volatile thing. These are people's rights. They're human rights. They have entitlements. And if they feel that their rights are being violated, or they're not being treated fairly for some reason, they will automatically go ahead and seek to remedy that. So again, this is creation. Mm-hmm. So you've created the monster. Now you're having trouble dealing with the monster.
Yeah.
Well, don't create monsters. That's the key. Yeah. You know, so again, these things are not very good for us. When we go out there and we tell people this is what we're doing, and we're seeing that we're having forces coming in allegedly, or we have the police rallying around, you know, there's heavy security. Our prime minister is probably one of the prime ministers, probably is the prime minister that has some of the most security I've ever seen. I don't think the prime minister of the United States has that much security. The president of the United States has that much security, you know. So it's very unnerving to see that there's so much unrest in such a small country with so many lovely people. So when we put that image out there, remember, whatever we put out there, that is what people are going to see. And that is how they're going to portray you and me and everybody else as a Dominican. So when we walk into somebody's home and they tell us, hey, step outside, we have to talk about things, then, and we're not accepted as part of them, then we understand why. Because they know where we come from. They understand what we're accustomed to or what we're capable of. So, again, it's what we present to the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I want to focus, you know, the time we have left, I want to... Thanks. Yeah, I want to focus on... We've been discussing politics, very important. I want to discuss development, really. And Dominica, you know, what exactly, you know, when every country has what they produce, they make, they export. What exactly is our sales pitch for the world, really? What exactly are we about? We know that, you know, countries like Japan, obviously, into, you know, making vehicles and all these things and so on, and Taiwan, IT and all that, and China and so on. But in Dominica, post-bananas, have we been able to establish a niche for ourselves in the world? And as a business person, as a Dominican, and you've lived abroad for a long time, what is your view as to...
Well, I'm going to tell you, I have some simple views on that. I think, you know, we need to understand that we have come a very long way. Bananas is not a crop anymore, by the way. There's several people in the world that can produce bananas cheaper, faster, more efficient than us. But there's several other things that we can do here. And I can probably give you five factories that if we opened today, Dominica would probably be one of the most successful Caribbean countries. For instance, if we, and this is the reason I'm probably going to give you this information, is because remember, if we were told very clearly that if we cannot develop CBI money or use CBI money or get CBI money, then our next resort for creating income for Dominica is by raising taxes. And this was told to us by our leaders. You know, basically they have to get the money somewhere. So here it is that we have to sort of move away from that and try to develop ourselves a little bit. So five factories we could probably open in Dominica today, and we could probably go ahead and do a really, really good job at those five factories. One, we need a fish processing plant. And we're not talking about a fisheries. We're talking about something. We bring in a lot of tuna. We bring in a lot of other fish, really nice fish. That's fine. We have to open markets that we can sell that fish, but sometimes you can't open markets that sell that fish. What you need to do is figure out how to process that fish, whether it be canned tuna, whether it be mackerel canned, whether it be different canned, different versions of, and canning is very easy. I mean, you could open a factory here. If we can bring in 10, 15, 20, 30 tunas a day, big tunas, we can build a successful factory around canning. The second one that I probably could bring to you is a fruit processing plant. We have a lot of fruits here that are just going to waste. We have mangoes that are going to waste. We can make dried mangoes. We can make different mango juice. That is a top seller in the U.S., in the Filipino and the Asian community. We have carambola that's literally going to waste constantly. We have those things that are going to waste constantly. We have avocado. Avocado is very expensive right now in the U.S. I mean, you're thinking avocado, guacamole. We have all these things. But guess what? Our avocados are going to waste constantly. Coconuts. processing coconuts. I mean, coconuts, there's so many different things that can be derived from coconuts. And you have to know that is a big industry. So we're talking about processing some of the things we grow here on a daily basis. But not only that, we had a shoe factory here that we used to do shoes or sundries or different items. One of the big advantages we have in Dominica over so many, in fact, I'm going to put it, the biggest advantage we have in Dominica over everybody is we have cheap labor. We have very, very cheap labor. Our labor is very, very, very cheap, and we can probably put everybody to work as long as they would like to work. So we can open these factories where we put things together, and then they get sold on the open market if we can get markets for them. Look at simple things like livestock. Let's talk about like pigs or goats or beef. These things are wanted all around the world. If we had a plant that could actively process these things and develop as much as we can, I mean, instead of ordering stuff like that in, whether it be pigs or whatever it is, I mean, we still order goat in into Dominica, and we have goats. Mm-hmm. So we have to stimulate those kind of things. But let's look at something even simpler. We have a lot of herbs, trees, all those things that grow here. We have a lot of people who love teas. Teas is probably one of the most profitable industries in the United States right now. Lots of tea houses, tea bag houses opening. And we have the herbs. We have the great soil. We have the good weather. We have the rainfall. All these things can be developed. And probably one of the ones that I do not understand why we don't have as yet or what's our problem with that is a water factory. We were selling water. It got damaged. We never put it back together. And we have some of the best water in the world in Dominica. And I don't understand why, because there's so many places. You know, recently I had a chance to drive across the United States, and I stopped in Flint, Michigan. Flint, Michigan, for those of you all who don't know, has some of the worst, most corrupt water ever, because their water was like radioactive. And these people rely 100% on bottled water coming in. But there's so many places in the world that don't have bottled water. And yes, putting out a really great product, if we can get it out to the world, I think we can save the world. We can save the world right here in Dominica if we wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Andy, you've made a number of suggestions. You said fish processing, fruits, coconuts, shoes, and of course animals and all that. But our problem in Dominica, Andy, is that we've not been able to attract the capital to do some of those things.
Well,
foreign direct investment.
Well, it's us to blame. It's our leaders. I mean, these are the things that our leaders should be working on. Our leaders should be making way to get us the investments. Our leaders should be making way to open markets. Our leaders should be making way. I mean, we have Dominica, which has probably two ways into Dominica, tropical and King Ocean. We have no way out of Dominica. You know, unless you're not shipping a container out of Dominica, really and truly, you can't ship anything out of Dominica. I mean, not that you ship it by air, which is not an efficient way to do business. Mm-hmm. So we need people who are going to step in place. And one of the main ideas I think that we need to approach in Dominica, which I haven't seen for a long time, even in the government, is a business manager. We need somebody who understands business, who is going out there to say, hey, I am going to directly affect the business portion of the world in Dominica. I am going out there to get new businesses. I'm going out there to generate revenue. I'm going out there to see what we can get to bring back in. We've hired a lot of people to sell passports, but we haven't hired a lot of people to get people in and give them financial incentives. Most of these countries, what we don't realize is that when we lose business in the islands, you know, and I'm not going to say this to affect or offend anybody else, but let's say we have a business that wanted to come to Dominica, and we have a lot of businesses that wanted to come to Dominica, but instead, let's say they went to St. Vincent or St. Lucia or Jamaica. These islands are celebrating, I mean, because they just got something great that we didn't want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have to understand, even though they are our good friends and they are our neighbors, we're competing with them still. We have to make ourselves look better, feel better, and attract people to create these businesses. So maybe they need tax holidays, maybe they need reform. Maybe we need to restructure our business development part of Dominica, because I don't think we have a very good one, to tell the truth, because we don't have businesses rushing into Dominica to say, hey, I would really like to open up shop here. I want to get here as quick as we can, and I'm going to make the next million, 2 million, $1 billion in Dominica.
Now, Andy, you're a businessman. Let's suppose you have no ties in Dominica at all. Nobody, you're just looking to invest somewhere in the world. And if you're looking to invest somewhere in the world and you look at all the islands in the Caribbean, you look at the US, Canada, you look at the UK, would you invest in a country like Dominica right now?
No, never. Why is that? Well, I'm going to just tell you that the climate is not right for investment in Dominica. I mean, you have to understand, in order to create investments, you have to have conduits that are going to really promote those investments. First of all, investing in Dominica is very, very difficult. I'm going to tell you, many people have tried it. I have had friends, I've had other business partners who've said, hey, I do not want to invest here. First of all, it's very hard to get the people who are responsible for anything. It's very hard to get definite answers back on anything. It's very hard to even transfer or move capital for Dominica. You know, Dominica is looked at what one of the most questionable money transfer states, and I don't want to call it money laundering, but money transfer states that we have. And people don't like that. People don't like blemishes. You know, it's almost like having a beautiful girl with a lot of pimples on her face.
Mm. But if you have pimples, it would be beautiful, would you? But anyway, I get your point.
Yeah. Okay, you want to put lipstick on a pimple? I mean, it's okay. The same thing. You know, but here's the thing. You want to go to countries that are going to welcome you. You want to go to countries that are going to offer tax holidays, tax breaks.
But I'm sure that the government offers that. You have the Fiscal Incentives Act. I'm sure that they offer tax holidays.
Well, I'm sure that they probably do. But it's so difficult to get a hold of. I think the government is supposed to make channels available to get these things done. But very often what we find, anything that needs to be done in Dominica has to go through the government. And we don't have a very efficient government. I mean, and that's just something we've never had for a very long time. So anytime you have to go through a government structure, people are very afraid of it, because here's what's gonna happen. In 5 years, or in this case, 2.5 years, your government's gonna might change. Mm-hmm. Or the person who was helping you the first time, not the person who's helping you the next time. So people want stability. They want to know that there are concrete rules in place, that even though the top of the leadership changes, that their structure can still be the same as they go along.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at education, Mr. Jolly, education. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Prime Minister announced, not long after he became Prime Minister, that he wanted to have a university graduate in every household by 2015.
That's true.
And it is a fact.
It's a good idea to have that. Yeah. That's definitely something.
And it is a fact that the government has, year after year, the recurrent expenditure budget is probably the highest it's ever been.
Yes.
You have children who are, 20 years ago, when Shelley and Mead got 9-1s, that was a major breakthrough. And the recent results on the CXC, a student from PSS got 14-1s and 10-1s.
Well, we have a lot of smart kids here.
But the point I want to make is that you have this, every year you have the state college, they have graduation for over 250, 300 students. You have students getting 13-1s and 10-1s, which is all good. Mm. But we're educating these people, but once they leave here, Andy, most of them are not coming back.
Because we don't have the opportunity here for them. We what we're doing, again, it's working on the hardware and ignoring the software. So yes, we are educating our people. We have brilliant Dominicans all around the world. I'm going to tell you, you walk through places and you meet a Dominican, they're wearing a suit, a tie, they're in charge of things, they're running things, they're the head of this or the head of that, and they're not in Dominica. And that's because we've not culturally accepted people coming back who are very bright. We've not embraced that here. One of the reasons, I'll tell you, that I myself left a very long time ago was because when I came back, it was told to me that you have to sit down and learn how to do things. You're too young. Relax yourself. Sit back. Or even though you're young and you're more qualified than the person who's in charge, you cannot be in charge because the person who's in charge has been there for so long. So one of the things we have in Dominica is that we are afraid of intelligence. So the people are afraid of really smart or oriented people. We do not want opinionated people or really smart people. But these are the people who can lead us out of the dark. These are the people who come up with the ideas. These are the thinkers of the world right now. So you have to understand something very significant. We need the smart people. And what we've frequently done with our smart people is see them go to Antigua, or see them go to St. Lucia, or see them go to America, or see them go to England. And they welcome these people. These people are brilliant. They put them in charge of things. They're very successful. And we wonder why. What's going on? Why is everybody who is brilliant or who can entertain a good discussion is leaving? It's because of the frustration that we've created in this island. We don't want the smart people here. In fact, there's more smart people out of Dominica than in Dominica. I'm just telling you that as a fact.
So how do we break out of that cycle? How do we break out of it?
Well, it's simple. You know, where we started is our problem. When we came in first, what used to happen before was we would have elections. And our elections were very, very open. We did the elections and we put the elections away. And then we went to work. And usually the people who got elected went to work to make sure that by the time 5 years later down the road, that Dominica was a great place to live. I mean, it was better. They could show you definite things of what they did. And then I think what we ended up with shortly after that, because remember, we're a very young country, what we ended up with is a politician as a career. And anytime you get people who go into politics as a career, then you end up with the fact that I need to do exactly what I need to do so I can get back in there the next time and the next time and the next time. So now we've lost focus on the fact of what are the things that we really went in there in the first place. And they don't understand that this election here that we've called is costing us millions and millions of dollars. And a lot of people say, oh, it's not the money, it's labor money that we're spending. No, we're not spending. If you have to look at the amount of police and the police needs.
All rest days are being canceled,
right? Then we have to look at the fact that our prime minister carries a lot of security with him everywhere he goes. Even on stage, he has security. So we're paying for that. We have to look at the polling stations. We have to look at all the banners and the polling equipment needed. We have to look at all the other factors needed. The people who are going to be manning those polling stations, somebody has to pay those people. So here it is that we're spending a bunch of money on things that we do not benefit from. So we are essentially telling ourselves, we have poor thinkers. We're spending money on things we don't need. That's poor thinking, any which way. So politics has traditionally divided people. It has never welcomed people. If you have to look at any society, and you can read the books, Article 25, different sections in there that say that basically anytime you have elections where low voter turnout, you have election fraud, or you have limited freedoms for press, you have corruption, or you have unequal enforcement of power, you have to understand, you're going to find people at unrest. And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing a perfect example of exactly what they wrote in the book. So if we had just read the book, we could tell you that this is going to happen.
Andy, I want to talk about, because of course you have experience and knowledge in that area, about health and healthcare.
Yes.
The government has built the Dominica China Friendship Hospital. Millions have been spent, the Chinese spend the money and all that. But what's the status of healthcare in Dominica, in your opinion, and what can we do to improve it? And before you even answer, you have, for example, in Portsmouth, you have the Kepinski Resort and Spa. It's a five-star hotel. So you have people who are coming in there who are spending, whether it's $500 a night, whatever it is.
A lot of money.
A lot of money. But in Portsmouth itself, we do not have a decent hospital. I mean, it's pitiful to see
the hospital. The hospital. That we have. Yes,
it's really pitiful. If something seriously happens to a guest, they have to end up in Roseau an hour away. Died by then.
Well, chances are, and even though you end up in Roseau, there's still that possibility too. But here's the thing. I think what we don't understand in politics is that in order for us to get these things taken care of, our leaders need to give us a very clear mandate as to what they're going to do. And people are probably going to go to the polling stations and vote. Here's what you're looking at. You're looking at an incorrect mandate. The mandate means that here's things that I am going to work on. Healthcare is not the best in Dominica. Not only that, health services have been questioned several times in Dominica. Not only that, people who work in Dominica, nurses, whether it be employees of different businesses, very few of them have healthcare insurance even. So anytime something happens, it's always catastrophic because you have to fly somebody out, you have to move somebody out. Our hospitals need to be addressed. But again, you have to realize one thing, Sean. It's what's important to us. Did we put this down on a paper 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago? Did we say we're going to have the number one hospital with the number one services, or did we say we're just going to build a building? What did we look for? Are we attracting doctors to Dominica? Are we giving them incentives to come here? We recently lost an oncologist in Dominica. We've lost many other doctors. I've had lots of doctor friends that were in my class and I went to, and they went to neighboring islands because those neighboring islands made it easier to facilitate their practice, easier to open up practices, and paid them a lot better. So when we come down to things, we have to try to figure out what's going on with what's our priority in Dominica. And we've traditionally given away free healthcare, and I don't think you can do that sustainably anytime. So at some point in time, we have to have a national healthcare discussion or a national healthcare debate to say, hey, what are the important things for us? Are we going to work on our health centers? Are we going to work on our hospitals? Are we going to go ahead and see what is important for us in this society? And what is going to be important for our children? Because you have to understand that our children are coming along shortly.
Okay, let's take a short break and we'll be right back with Mr. Andy Jolly.
If you know your favorite store, dial it now. 612-1253. That's Mega Deals. You can rely on Mega for some real deals on name brand clothing and electronics. High quality, low price.
Cannot.
We are a wholesale and retail store located in Calabashi, right on the main road. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram as Mega Deals Dominica. Like our page, check out our stuff, call us, visit us. We'd appreciate that. Come try it on, love it, buy it at Mega Deals, your one and only online and brick and mortar store. Mega Deals is also on wheels. We make it convenient for your shopping. We deliver straight to your door. Email us at info@megadealsda.com. Rely on Mega Deals for some real deals.
Yes, good afternoon and welcome back to Talk on the Block for today, Wednesday, the 16th day of November in the year 2022. Just earlier at the start of the program, I read a statement, an advisory, which purported to have come from the British government. I've come to learn that the information I read may not be authentic. I'm still trying to confirm, but the information I read, because you know we live in an era of fake news, and I got information from a source which I thought was reliable. And I should have double checked it and treble checked it before it was read out. So I'm still waiting confirmation, but the information I read earlier about this advisory may not be authentic. And if it's not authentic, I deeply apologize for that. Mistakes can be made. I am big enough to hold up my hands and say, yes, a mistake was made. So the report I read, this UK advisory, comment from the British government, it may not be authentic, and I deeply apologize for that. I'm waiting confirmation of what I've just said here. Let's now go to the telephone lines because it's about, what, 10 to 2. I think Mr. Jolly has a voice note he wants to want us to listen to.
Andy, Sean, this is Matt Pelche. I just want to say to the people of Dominica, I may not be there physically, but I'm there in spirit. I want them to fight for what they believe. No reform, no election. This is the call. No reform, no election. Good afternoon, Dominica. I'm with you.
Okay, that was Matt Pelty there. No reform, no election. As I said, the rally. There's a rally debate front from 3 p.m. this afternoon. I urge all Dominicans that democracy is at stake in our country. If we love this country, we have respect for the rule of law, the importance of free and fair elections. Free and fair elections is a cornerstone of our democracy. We live in a modern liberal democracy, and we've enjoyed free and fair elections for a long time until, of course, we had the advent of the Labour Party and Roosevelt's Carter administration. Let's go to the telephone lines and take calls now. So let's see. Callers, keep your contributions as concise as possible. Hello, good afternoon, caller, you're live. Hello, good afternoon, caller, you're live on Talk on the Block. Okay, that caller may have gone. Okay, let's see. Take this other call. Hello, good afternoon, caller, you're live on Talk on the Block.
Yes, good afternoon, Sean. This is Ati Martin, and I was trying to reach you earlier to point that out, that in fact, that news item, I received it from a usually reliable source myself, and like you, I did not do all the checks that should have been done. I mentioned it on a voice conversation I had earlier with Caesar, and I was trying to reach him back to apologize for not having checked it, because I'm getting the same follow-up information that you just alluded to, which is that this may not be authentic or valid information. And like you, I have absolutely no problem about admitting to having made an error, and I should have double, triple, and quadruple checked something as significant as that before sharing it with your radio station. So I do apologize, and I hope that this doesn't, you know, cause any great difficulty either for you, for the station, or for persons, you know, associated with related industries that could suffer as a result of anything like that being true, even halfway true. So like you, I do apologize for having shared that information without a thorough and absolute check of the credibility. So thank you. And thank you for doing that yourself. I think that is exemplary. And there are not too many people around who actually would be big enough to do that, as you have.
Yeah. Thank you, Afi. And Afi, while you're on the line, I just want to ask you whether I'll see you there at from 3 p.m. on the Bayfront this afternoon.
Yes, I plan to go. I'm heading down myself.
Okay. And Afi, why should Dominicans come out this afternoon? Why should they?
Well, I mean, in an interesting, what Andy is speaking about is actually the big answer to that question. We have allowed things to deteriorate so far and so fast. We have been too silent in the face of the early symptoms of a real malaise in the social and political and policy-making milieu of Dominica. And the net effect is that we are actually at a stage where, on top of all of that, we've had COVID, we have disasters in terms of storms and so on. So we are besides ourselves with it. And what's needed now are the calm voices like Andy, you know, reasonable, and but the point is getting people to listen to calm and listen to reasonable is not really easy to do in Dominica nowadays. However, that means we have to try harder. And I encourage you, I encourage Andy and the younger one, that your generation, to keep on doing that. So the reason we must go, we must send the signal to the world, because Dominica is under scrutiny. Not just by ourselves and Dominicans overseas, but by other islands, other institutions worldwide. And in fact, the way we are treated and handled and associated with or disassociated from in the near future will have a lot to do with how they perceive.
Thank you, Afi. Thank you very much.
To these challenges.
Looking forward to seeing you this afternoon. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I just want to read this this short message here. Q95 will carry live the UWP meeting on the Bayfront from 4 to 7 p.m. today. And as a result, there'll be no programming of Youth on Q. So Q95 will carry live the UWP meeting on the Bayfront from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. today. and as a result, there'll be no programming of Youth on Cue. And again, as I said, normally I'm scrupulously efficient in checking things, and I didn't double check with respect to this this advisory that purportedly came from the His Majesty's government. It would appear that this information is not true, and I apologize unreservedly. What I will say is that I accept responsibility, but let us not, this should not take away from the substance of what we're talking about in electoral reform, or about the importance of coming to the Bayfront this afternoon. Yes, a mistake was made, I've admitted that. The most important thing to remember is that democracy is at stake, the preservation of a democracy is at stake, and I call on all Dominicans from all walks of life to come on the Bayfront this afternoon from 3 p.m. We don't have much time, but I'll take a couple calls before we shut it down this afternoon. Hello, good afternoon, caller, you're live.
Yeah, just quickly, Sean, Professor and Doctor. The professor or the doctor, one of them, forget the marijuana industry. They do not want critical thinkers and educated and independent people, because it's a system built on enslavement, exploitation, and corruption and bribery. So what Doc is saying, and to commend him highly, look, we get rid of our ENT. We get rid of all of our professionals and our experts, because we want what that remain behind is Wakai.
Thank you, caller. Thank you, caller.
Well, one of the things that we have to also look at, you know, maybe we've had 20 years, you know, of something probably we don't appreciate. And I'll tell you something. If you look at all the rules and laws, you've seen that probably quite a few of them were broken, tampered with, or things that were done. But one of the things that we have to do in Dominica is not look at today. What happened here today and will probably happen tomorrow is okay, but some of our laws are dating back all the way to 1960, 1950 something. So we need to put rules, regulations in place so that this will never, ever, ever happen again. We have to put stipulations in place as to how much can be given to this, or what that one person can do or don't do.
Yeah, thank you. Let's take as many calls as we can before we close this afternoon. Hello, good afternoon, caller. Hello,
good afternoon. Just two quick questions for Mr. Jolly. I'm not sure if he said it earlier, and I may have missed it, but is he going to, the companies that he has control over, is he going to shut them down today and encourage his staff, to those who want to go, to come out to the rally? And secondly, would he encourage other businesses to do likewise? Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, business is a very, very tough thing to do, and I don't think business gets involved in the political arena to any extent. I think if somebody wants to go to something, if they make the necessary arrangements, they're usually allowed to go to anything that they want. I mean, whether you have a doctor's appointment or, you know, a rally that you need to go to. But we have to do things. I mean, we can't do things vike-y-vike where you just shut down things and say, hey, because people need things, you know. And not only that, you have to realize that business is really not supposed to be a political venue. It's supposed to be to help people who need help, and that's just it. Now, if somebody, as I said, everybody has a personal decision to make on what they want to do. So those people know the right avenues to go down to make those personal decisions.
Thank you. Let's go over to the line three now. Hello, good afternoon, caller. You're live. You don't have much time.
Yeah, good afternoon, Sean. That's the problem right there. We don't have adequate laws to protect us from the decisions of these politicians.
We don't have adequate laws. And don't worry about this one. You know, here's the thing. You're going to have about 10 more if we don't put things in place. One of the best things in society, even in I notice in the U.S., it's how new law is made. New law is made because somebody broke the law, did something that we'd never seen before, and we decided we're going to put things in place to make sure that this never happens again.
Yeah, but it's the same politicians who have to make the law. That's the problem.
Oh. Okay, thank you, caller. Thank you. Okay, and let's take one more call before we close today. Hello, good afternoon, caller. You're the final caller.
Yes, good afternoon, Sean, and good afternoon, Mr. Jolly.
Good afternoon.
I've always been saying that all our white people from this country are all over the world, except Dominica.
They are.
And those who remain in Dominica, like Dr. Ike, Dr. Shillingford Ricketts, and others, they are running after them. So we don't want white people here at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Colin. Mr. Jolly, you have about 30 seconds to give your closing remarks. Yes.
Well, you know, I want to appreciate the fact that folks come out and listen. And, you know, where do we go from here? And how does this all end? Nobody really knows. But, you know, people have to think for themselves. What do they want? They have to think what they want for themselves, their children, and going forward, how do they want to handle things? And I don't know. I don't know what the right answers to any of those are. I'm trying to figure it out for myself.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jolly. Thank you very much.
All right.
Your country is in crisis. Your country's democracy is in crisis. Save it now. Join the thousands that will gather on the Bayfront in Roseau from 3 to 7 p.m. for a national public meeting to answer the call, no reform, no elections, organized by the Coalition of Opposition Parties and Civil Society Organizations. This Thursday, see your face in the place for a national public meeting to save your country.
Yes, I want to Q95 will carry live the United Workers Party meeting rally on the Bayfront from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. today. And as a result, there'll be no programming of Youth on Q. So Q95 will carry live the United Workers Party rally on the Bayfront from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. today. Today's rally is about saving Dominica from dictatorship. Today's rally is about preserving our fledgling democracy. See you there from 3 p.m. this afternoon on the Bayfront. Mr. Jolly, thank you for joining us. And the next program is the Duty Cell Hour.